Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney, and I'm telling you, we had a tremendous week this week. We had a large protest. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showed up for the protest. It was well organized. It was put together, but this is the very best we ever had it. People came from all over. We had 6-7 busloads of folks to come. It was just tremendous. But during the process, there was a couple of groups who wanted to take credit for something that they had nothing to do with. I'm going to read you a letter that they sent to the Herald Player. I think it was a press release that was sent to the Herald Player, and they contacted them, and this is what they said. It said, the protest planned for Blossomtown Parade today will carry a different message than protests held in Benton Harbor over the past few weeks. It was a pro-democracy, not anti-corporation, the organizer said. During an April 27 march to protest Public Act 4, the new emergency manager law, many protesters took the opportunity to voice their opposition to Whirlpool and Harbor Shores. That isn't the message the protesters should be focused on today, John Walsh said Friday. Walsh is the executive director of Heartland Revolution. Remember that name, Heartland Revolution, a Kentucky-based activist organization that helped plan today's protest and the march in April. That is not true. They had nothing to do with it, but yet and still they're trying to take credit. Today's protest is about to reinstate union bargaining and voters' rights, according to a press release from the newly formed Save Benton Harbor organization, which is affiliated with Heartland Revolution. The emergency manager law passed in March gave emergency managers the power to dissolve collective bargaining agreement and to suspend the authority of all elected officials. Opponent has said the law turned emergency manager to a dictator, which that's what Pinckney said. The protesters need to stay on the message other than focus on corporation influence in the city, Walsh said, who has nothing to do with Benton Harbor, do not live in Benton Harbor. The corporate influence in government is a problem, Walsh said, but it is only going so far. And at some point, it ends up to elected representatives whether they will submit to that influence. The same Benton Harbor organization said in the Newsweek Friday that it and Heartland Revolution are not affiliated with Save Gene Clark Park organization or the Reverend Edward Pinckney, a Benton Harbor-based asset. Pinckney has spoken out against Whirlpool before. Once picked the emergency manager town hall meeting, carrying a sign that read, Whirlpool commit genocide, Whirlpool exterminates a city. Reverend Pinckney in his own self and has his own message and to get out, Walsh said. The Reverend Alexander Bullock, director of Michigan branch of Rainbow Push, which is part of Reverend Jesse Jackson, said he agrees with Walsh and the coalition worked with the Heartland Revolution to conduct the protest. First thing first, democracy is under attack. We must fight to protect the people's right to vote, Bullock said. Pinckney has the right to express his views and belief, but the coalition view is that the corporate community in Benton Harbor and the state is a part of the solution, Bullock said. Bullock said that much like a basketball player taking on a different role to win the game, members of the community have their own role. Everybody has a role in the championship team. And we can't win a championship without the corporate community, which is not true. It sounds like someone who's part of the corporation to me. We don't want to demonize Whirlpool and make Whirlpool an enemy. Whirlpool is already an enemy, Reverend Pinckney said. Whirlpool is going to be part of a turnaround, Bullock said. He don't have a clue what's going on in the city of Benton Harbor. Pinckney said Friday that neither Heartland Revolution nor the Rainbow Coalition is affiliated with him or his organization. But he agrees that today's protest is not about Whirlpool, only today, but tomorrow it will be all about Whirlpool. Amen. But on that note, this is a press release from a group that was not even involved with organizing the protest, but yet want to take claim. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream. that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I tell you, yesterday was such a tremendous day. And we know this. We know that the Herald Palladium newspapers and all the newspapers around here are looking for a way to attack me. And they But they know I don't really care. I can handle them all. But I tell you, the march was tremendous, and I want people to know that Heartland Revolution and this other group, Sabin, whatever it is, and also Reverend Jesse Jackson group, Push, are definitely not affiliated and had nothing to do with the protest on yesterday, other than they tried to come in and grab a little publicity. That's what they did. But on that note, I'm going to bring in Dorothy Pinckney. Dorothy Pinckney, are you there?
Hi, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing, Dorothy Pinckney? How you feeling today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Did you get a chance? You know, how did you enjoy the protest on yesterday?
That was one of the best days of days. It was so exciting. I mean, people in large numbers, they came and they kept coming and coming and coming. And it was so awesome because we were at the end of the bridge, the entrance from St. Joe into Benton Harbor. And we had both sides of the bridge filled with people. And it was so awesome. Everybody was excited. Everybody was on one accord. I mean, it was an awesome day. And just to see that the bridge, when you can't see at each end of the bridge, you have to come over the bridge to see what's going on, right? So the parade started from St. Joe, came over the bridge into Benton Harbor, and it's like when they came over the bridge, they saw all of us standing there, you know, and they were so surprised, they didn't know what to expect. But it was awesome. That was one of the best days of my days.
I tell you, that was a tremendous, tremendous protest. And the part I like, I was able to walk in the parade with my sign. We call Rick Snyder is a Rick-tator, which rhymes with dictator. And I tell you, I was so excited just being that close with them, and I had a police escort as I was carrying my sign, calling this man a Rick-tator. And his first name is Rick, and the reason why we got the name Rick, we got it from his first name, Rick.
Right, a play on words.
And we took the word dictator and turned it into Rick-tator. And I tell you, and everybody, the news media was so angry and upset, in which they know me because it was such a success and so many people was involved. People came from everywhere. They came from, we had a total of 9 busloads of people.
They just kept coming and coming.
They kept coming. And I tell you, it was just a beautiful experience. But the best part of the day, when Governor Snyder came across the bridge and
walking.
That was we thought that he was going to be in a convertible, and then we would have been able to get closer to him that way. But by him walking, I mean, he had a lot of nerves. He thought, sure, he said he's going to show the people. I tell you, we showed him that day. If we get a major victory, we definitely got one yesterday.
We got one yesterday.
I mean, the spanking
so
we put on them. And then you should all the security. They spent more money for security than, like President Obama was coming. They were everywhere we were, they were just watching. Every time you look up, they was in these little golf cars. They had the horse soldiers. They had the motorcycle soldiers. They had the cars. They had everything you could think of, and just for this one parade.
Yes.
And I tell you, I will never ever forget this day. That was the greatest protest that we have ever had, and we had a lot, but none can compare to that one.
Right, and one other thing I like is that when, you know, Snyder came walking over the bridge, right, and he was just waving, right?
Yeah.
And we turned our backs on him. He was waving, and we turned our backs on him.
that was beautiful. You had about 800 to 1,000 people just turned their back at one time on all of that.
Yeah.
And then started saying, recall Rick, recall
yeah.
Rick, recall Rick. It was just that good.
I thought
it was so beautiful.
Right.
And I know he was I was so close to him, I could see his legs weak because he was surely intimidated. And they said that little black man is something else, because I tell you, they would have never dreamed of anything. The union came out strong yesterday.
Yes.
The UAW, they came
right.
out so strong. They came out in busloads, and the president,
right.
Bob King, was there, and all of my friends were there, the elected officials,
right.
and even they was carrying signs. And I tell you, that was the best one I've seen. Not the city commissioners here. They didn't carry no signs. But the other elected official carried signs. It showed that, you know, that they're not cowards, you know. Well, some of them were.
Exactly.
I didn't see what's called with none. But I saw this lady with one. But it was it was just that good. I've been to a lot of protesters, and I've been involved with a lot of them in all my years, but I got to tell you, that ranked way up there.
It was.
Yep,
it was
absolutely.
Awesome.
And one of the things that people have to know, too, which is important, you can't let other people come in that's not really taking part in it and take over.
Exactly.
I have experienced that. The only reason I didn't shut them completely down yesterday, they didn't march with us anyway. The only
right.
reason I didn't shut them down, the only reason, I didn't want to show this unity among us.
Mm-hmm.
But my point was, well, they'll know the next time, that would never happen again. Never, ever, ever, ever again. And part of it is my fault, because I want people to understand that we have a united front. To me, that's more important than anything else. And some of the remarks they've made in the newspaper and on the radio and reference that they don't want to be affiliated with me, but they want to be get credit for organizing the protest, I ain't mad with them. But my point is, we don't need them. But on the closing note, Dorothy Pinckney, do you have anything else you might want to say?
Well, you know, even before the parade got started yesterday, you know, we was warming up with our chants, right?
Right.
And I was asked if you were going to be in the parade, having no idea that you were in the parade.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That was surprising to me.
Absolutely. I didn't even know that I was going
to
be in the parade
either.
I had no idea that I was going to be the main character in a parade next to Snyder, Governor Snyder.
Right.
Who would have suspected that? But
it
hey,
so awesome.
I tell you, it was tremendous, and
yes.
I tell you, never before in the history of mankind did people enjoy themselves so much. I mean,
yes.
there was not one single complaint from the protesters in reference to it, because it was the greatest that you can. I mean, I'm still feeling this. I'm going to be feeling this thing for the next 2-3 weeks. And
yeah, it's awesome.
It was awesome. It was
historical.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and what we did, we took it to a whole different level. And then we coming back. Yes, we coming back June 18th at 11 o'clock back at City Hall for the anniversary of the uprising in the year 2003. And we will be back. We will be back even stronger than yesterday. But on that note, Dorothy, I'm going to bring on Mary, and she does have something to say. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm praising God. How are you, Miss Dorothy?
Doing good, Mary. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I asked Reverend Pinckney to put me on if he could, so I could say a couple of things about bereaved black mothers, and not necessarily black. There are many mothers who are of white race, red race, yellow race that are also suffering today because their sons and daughters are the handbars. Some of them rightfully, some of them wrongly, but no one deserves to be treated with less respect than a human being. I want to tell them.
Go ahead. Hello? All right, we look like we lost her. Anyway, let's go back to the parade. How could anybody enjoy themselves more than the people did yesterday? I mean, when you talk about, you know, when you have over 1,000 people in a protest in a small city like Benton Harbor, things just get outrageous. And I tell you, the police department, they had the whole communities around it. They probably had the National Guard somewhere close. But one of the things I got to say, the police actually really helped us because they allowed to give the buses escort to a place where they could park at, which was really wonderful. They could drop the people off and go and park the buses, which was really wonderful. And I do believe that, you know, we have to start taking this thing to a whole different level. And I believe that we can do this thing. But look, Mary is back, so let's go back to Mary. Mary, you're there.
Yes, I am, Reverend. I don't know. You know, I told you that my phone has stopped that.
Yes.
My computer has stopped that. They don't want to hear the truth any more now than they did.
Well, we're in the truth telling, so you got to tell the truth whatever you do.
I'm going to tell the truth on them, Reverend, and they
That's
can
right.
do
Keep
what they
telling.
Will.
Well, they hate me
you know,
just as much as they hate
wanna,
you,
I
so.
Just want to tell everyone. Happy Mother's Day. I want to say a special Happy Mother's Day to all of our bereaved mothers, especially black mothers whose sons are still being murdered in America. I want to let everyone know, please, that Virginia Davis, that's Troy Davis's mother, died. She died on April 12, 2011. She died a few weeks ago. The Supreme Court, it was announced that they rejected Troy Davis. You know, he's the innocent man on death row in Georgia. He's probably the most famous death row prisoner.
Okay. Well, we just lost her again. But look, we just can't keep bringing it in. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to bring on my dear friend Ralph. And we're gonna have the Lynn Stewart moment. And I tell you, we all know who Lynn Stewart is, and we wanna wish Lynn Stewart a happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
And we
yes.
wanna make sure that people understand that she is a true fighter for the people. And I know she's been fighting for a very long time, and we love her, and whatever we can do to help, that's what we're going to do. And let's bring on her husband, her companion, Ralph. Are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinky. I'm so happy to hear about your success. I wanted to be there, and I'm glad you're bringing it to people, the reality that oppression, you know, blankets everything we do. And the issue of Whirlpool Corporation taking over and robbing the assets of the community is a piece of the same cloth as the blanket of oppression. And, you know, we see it all over. This is the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Marches or the Freedom Rides, and it was about the interstate commerce rules. You know, it had to be proper civil rights. It had to be the same in the north that it is in the south. When a bus would go into the south, people didn't have to get out. Who formerly had to get out of the front seats and ride in the back, came under interstate commerce rules. And the government never enforced the interstate commerce rules in the South. And people forced them to enforce those rules with the Freedom Rides. And it was as Malcolm said, they got enough laws. You don't need civil rights laws. What they have to do is enforce them. And it brought about that whole issue. Is what is our struggle to change America, to develop our own communities, or to participate? And that's a struggle. That struggle continues. And I'm so glad to hear of the success that you're having there, bringing these issues to the people in terms of Whirlpool Corporation. Now let me jump.
Ralph,
Lynn Stewart.
Let me say this too. And here's the thing. I think they brought in a couple of groups, including my dear friend Jesse and their group, to try to. It was like four different groups all against me, and I had to beat them all down. So they understood that they understood that they match, you know, without, you know, because I'll never let them get that much of an edge again on me, because normally I keep them all under control, because they know that I'm not the one who's going to take this. Because, you know, I might be a preacher, but I'm a fighting preacher. I don't mind throwing a few blows, a couple of left and rights if I have to. If I have to throw a couple of cheers, I'll throw a couple of cheers. Whatever needs to be done, that's what I'm going to do. I'll bite if it get close to that point. I would do everything. I see, I'm one of those preachers.
Fight and pray.
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I'm one of those preachers that will fight. I will fight in a minute. And the best part about it, sometimes you just have to fight until the end. But this group, this Heartland Revolution, they out of Kentucky. I'm here on the 27th. I allowed them to help me on the 27th, but I didn't allow them to take over. They was sending out press releases that they are the one who organizing this whole thing. I didn't say nothing on the 22nd, but then before General Baker could speak, him and his wife, he had the microphone and he ended the whole thing. But he said the reason why he ended because he was being challenged by somebody to speak, and they was threatening him. So that's what he was saying. But you know, you can't give them an inch. If you give these organizations that's coming in an inch, they'll take a mile. But I want this to be a lesson to everybody that's listening. You see, we're going to take this thing to a whole different level. And never again in life would I allow this to happen. Never.
Well, my laughter is laughter of joy, because we who have been in the movement know what many of these funded groups are about.
Mm-hmm.
They are
mm-hmm.
about that. And you're bringing the issue of oppression of this government and the corporations on people, and you're bringing it to the forefront, and you will not let them take it over. So it's a wonderful thing. And when I hear that, like I says, I'm laughing, because that's laughter of joy that they have been stopped in their efforts to take it over. Then the next thing you know, they'll be saying, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
As long as you keep control.
That was the message that they gave out. They gave out the message that, because they were saying in the thing, that Whirlpool, here's another case where somebody talking about Whirlpool is not the enemy. We need him. And I said, this guy is out of touch with reality.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? He's out of touch with reality. He don't understand the fight. He don't understand the flight.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Because,
you know, Whirlpool is your enemy here in this city. Because if there was no Whirlpool, you would not have an EFM here.
Yeah.
It was, And that's the whole thing that people don't visualize. Corporations are our enemy, you know, and whether we like it or say it or not, you know, they are our enemy until we able to neutralize them.
Well, as the Honorable Cynthia McKinney said, we have no government, and she said this 3 years ago, our government has been hijacked by corporations. We're just here, and people looked at her, you know, askance. You know, what is she saying? Well, now you know it. You have taxation without representation because the corporations have taken your vote.
Absolutely.
They put people, governors in, and they pass these rules where they have managers, and we, the people, have become irrelevant because of this situation. So it is important that we pay attention to people like yourselves who are pushing this issue, trying to make people understand what's happening. And if I can continue the Lynn Stewart moment for people who don't know who Lynn Stewart is. Lynn Stewart is the people's lawyer, and we call her such is because as a 23-year-old, when she was born not 5 miles from Harlem, she did not know that the situation of the black communities existed, and she was valedictorian of every class she was ever in. So it wasn't something that she was missing. It was something they weren't teaching. And when she realized that, she got involved as an activist, as a teacher, as a librarian. And then she went on to law school after 10 years, 15 years of activism, and became an active lawyer who worked for the black, brown, yellow, and poor white communities to make things better. And now we're full circle. She is in prison. She defended the blind sheikh. And as a result of her defense, she ended up convicted of terrorism. And the government says what she supplied the terrorist organization was her client, which is the most outrageous thing I ever heard, because if you didn't want him to have representation, you should have barred him from representation. Says, no, he doesn't have rights. But then they asked Lynn Stewart, Ramsey Clark, ex-attorney general, said to Lynn Stewart, the important thing for you to represent this man is because we have to show everyone in the Middle East that there are people in America who believe Muslims have rights too. And we just can't have anybody up there representing him. They had just anybody up there representing him for 2 years and never did a thing. And then they hired Lynn Stewart, the government hired Lynn Stewart. Ramsey Clark insisted, and Lynn went to work. Well, she was too successful. And they were very angry, and she is in jail in Fort Worth, Texas. And I will give you that address. But now we come full circle. She has got a hit the other day. And
oh, no.
Yes, when the prison decides to punish you for something you did in prison. And guess what they're punishing her for? They claim that no one would work for prisoners without pay. Of course, they don't know Lynn Stewart. Well, Lynn Stewart, when she was on the outside, had the reputation of doing more pro bono work than the legal aid department in the whole city of New York. And there were cases that needed defending for black and Latinos and immigrants that she took those cases on, and she took them on for free. So now she's in jail, and the prison authorities say, well, you're helping people in jail, and we believe you're being paid for it, which is against the rules, of course.
There's no evidence, only thing to say that they believe.
They just never saw anything like that. When Lynn Stewart went to jail, people from all over the world, not just the country, not just New York, from Japan, Germany, Sweden, you know, sent some money to help Lynn, and they put it through Western Union. So they assumed that it had something to do with her helping the prisoners.
Mm.
Now, one of the things she said to me, she didn't know whether it was extreme ignorance or hate, because she says nobody checked anything. They just said people can't be sending money like that to you for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sent it to her for something. Her
right.
work for 35 years in the oppressed communities.
Absolutely.
I don't understand that. So, and then the other thing is, she says the most outrageous cases of women in federal prison, people who are of no threat to society and who have cases but with good lawyering, would be on the outside. So she's interviewing these people after she has read their papers, and we in New York, we're the entertainment capital of the world, are going to put on plays to let the whole world know that what's happening in America, the stories of these women, because Lynn said, you know, these oppressed women are hurting. And she says, look around you at visiting day. Look at the children here. Look how they're hurting these people. And she says, in about 10 years, the whole country is going to be hurt because these kids are going to show resentment, and they may not take it out in the diplomatic, legal manner. So she says, we have to have these stories out in the public, like the mother of Troy Davis dies when she realizes that her son's appeals have been rejected. There are terrible things happening. You know, so Lynn is working to alleviate these things, and they notified her that they're shutting her down. They're giving her a hit. They're going to find out, you know, like already they're giving her a hit, which will take place Monday. And so she says
she's going to have to go before the hearing officer. Is that correct?
Right. And so one of the things they said is, and here's the insult which she doesn't understand, which she is very angry about. The person who came to read her rights about the hit asked her if she understood the reading of the rights. You know, you have a right to remain silent. So she says, well,
anything you say would be held against you, Attorney Lynn Stewart.
She says, I think I understand. I've been an attorney for 35 years. So the person reading it to her said, well, you must not have been a good one. You're involved in this. So Lynn says, well, I couldn't bite my tongue. She says, well, it was listed in the papers as I'm one of the 10 best in the country. But maybe you're one who says, I couldn't have been a good one. So she said to me, well, you know, like if they cut us off, because every word is listened to, she says, you know. But she says, come make your visit. I try to visit her at least once a month, and I'm gone Thursday. So she says, I don't know what's going to happen. But she says, you know, I would like to be a fly on the wall if they do investigate this and call up some of the people who have been sending her money to ask if it's on behalf of some inmate in the prison. And she says, I'd like to hear the answer.
I know that's right. And I want you to expose all that stuff right on the air, because last week, we had more listeners than we ever had. We finally cracked the 16,000, and which was, it's so incredible that, you know, the way we're going now, we're heading towards 25,000 before it's over with.
Yes, definitely.
And it's really, with the Lynn Stewart moment that we have, people are listening now more than ever before.
I want them to write Lynn a letter, because every place I go, people tell me, they say, well, gee, I got a letter from Lynn Stewart, and she talks about people's problems. If you write to her, she will answer her. Just put your return address on. And an elderly lady with a cane came up to me this morning, and she says, you know, I got a letter from Lynn Stewart. She says, and I guess my name is on a list, if it wasn't already on a list. And I'm saying, you can bet your name is on a list. And she says, well, if they're going to list me, I want it to be on the Lynn Stewart list. I will try to remind her of all of the people who speak to me who get, you know, like a return mail. But let me give you once, I'm going to only say it once, and you can get this information on the Lynn Stewart website. It's lynnstewart.org, but it's her address is Lynn Stewart, Federal Medical Center, Carswell, Carswell. 53504-054, Unit 2N, as in never, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. And one of the things she has done when people realize that she's a lawyer, a top attorney in the country, they started lining up with their papers.
Absolutely. And I know that's true.
So she said, you know, I want to help you, but I have to answer the letters who people write to me, so I only have a few hours a day, and we're all in prison here. So what she did was she has office hours, you know. So
I love it. I love it.
For her office hours, and she does the work. But she continues to answer every letter. Now, the prisons are outrageous. You know, first they delayed her New York Times. You know, like they delay her paper a week. Although other people can get the New York Times, somehow they have it in their head that she's using the New York Times to send messages. I don't know how you would do that. So they delay her paper so that there's any message that she could send would be a week late. You know, and it's laughable.
If she was receiving a message through the task, all she had to do is tell them to send it whatever she wants her to do, make it 2 weeks in advance, and that way I get it a week late and I'll be able to do it.
It is.
You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out.
Yeah, except that she's got a hit. And one of the things that happened, there's a book out about how New York was almost lost in 1965, It was a turbulent, you know, 1965 in New York. We were all involved in the struggle for equal rights, equal justice under the law. And this book describes some of the, and you know, the situations that were there. And de Ruba Moore, who spent, I think, 17 years in jail unjustly before Bob Boyle, one of the lawyers, fought his case and got him out. He's a professor in college. So this book was denied because Lynn keeps abreast of what's happening. And when Manny Marrable's book on Malcolm X came out, Lynn said, get me that book. And de Ruba Moore's books, he says, get me that book. But they rejected de Ruba Moore's book. And the head of the Southwest District of Federal Prisons wrote Lynn a letter saying, we reject this book on how New York almost fell in 1965 because it was pornographic. So Lynn said to me, get the book and tell me what's pornographic about it. Are they talking about the officials in New York? Are they talking about the federal government pornographic in their oppression of black rights? So she says, I don't know, but please find out. Please inform de Ruba. And de Ruba is speaking in New York next week. Herb Boyd of the Amsterdam News is featuring a seminar on with just Hapstance on this book by de Ruba Moore and others. And so he wants to get involved. The publisher is involved. And Lynn's attorney, you know, on her appeal, Howard Price Farringer won Larry Flynt's case against the federal government on pornography. So this is right up his alley. So we've informed him, you know, like And I can't find anything pornographic in it, I say, unless it's the officials of New York and the federal government who are pornographic in their attempts, you know, to oppress, you know, like a freedom-loving people. But anyway, Lynn says she has to answer her letters, but she has office hours. And one of the funniest things she said happened, other jailhouse lawyers came to her and said they would work for her. And do all the secretarial work that had to be done, and you know, like, and organize it for a very small fee. You know, and Lynn, when she said she informed them that she does her work for no fee at all, she says,
yeah,
like a silence. They don't know Lynn Stewart. This
absolutely.
They call her.
Well, they need to look her up. they need to read her bio. That's what they need to do.
Well, let me tell you about her bio. Her bio that was done by a Canadian group, they have put a stop on her, what do you call it, the film. I'm searching for words. Her documentary.
Uh-huh.
We can't let it out. They won't let it out. So now we're in a fight to get the documentary out. They don't want to know from the Lynn Stewarts. And tomorrow night, there's going to be a John Brown celebration and a reenactment of Harper's Ferry, you know, by Norman Thomas Marshall. And it's about John Brown. And Lynn Stewart was called the John Brown of our times.
And, you know, and I love John Brown. I love him.
Boy, do we all love him. And so we see that these people who are telling the truth, they don't want to hear from them. They want to shut them down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Do me a favor. Go on and give the give an update, not the update, but, you know, how they can get in touch with Lynn again. And
Lynn,
then I got to bring Mary back on.
Okay, thank you so much. Lynn Stewart, L-Y-N-N-E Stewart, Federal Medical Center, Carswell, 53504-054, Unit 2N, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. Please write to her, and she loves to get the mail, and she loves to answer, and she is very brilliant, ordinary folk. Very
good.
Sympathetic, but when you is... one of the prosecutors against her said, you know, I hate everything Lynn Stewart stands for. I hate every cause she has. I hate her. But when she speaks, no one says it better.
That's
so
right.
Do yourself a treat. Write
and I'm going to write her this week. And that's a promise. And even my wife, Dorothy, she might decide to write her also. Send her a letter. And I want everybody out there listening, because the listeners, I know you're just not listening just to be listening, because we have the biggest increase of listeners that I have ever had. And we're pushing, we're over 16,000, close to 17,000 now, and we got to take this thing to a whole different level. But on that note, Mary, I can give you another couple of minutes, then I got to go to Libby. Mary, go right ahead.
Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. I want you to know, sir, that I put the fact that I'm on your show every Sunday on all my articles that are read by thousands of people. They're interested in the boycott for justice. I'm asking America to please stand up together and don't shop on the 9th of any month. That's our 9/11 emergency response.
Right on.
Corporate greed.
Right on.
Hello?
I'm staying right on.
Right on. That's our 9/11 emergency response to corporate greed. Also, I announced to thousands of people in my email last week that I would be boycotting and I would be protesting at the federal building in Atlanta where my family was pronounced by the judge, Judge Timothy Batten. We were pronounced immaterial. That's these Georgia courts are the same courts that have Troy Davis convicted of a murder he did not do. Georgia courts are crooked. I had a Georgia court, Georgia Superior Court, to pronounce that there is no Johnny Cochran firm in Georgia with it right downtown. They actually went to court and stood there and said, we're not guilty of defrauding this family because we don't even have an office in Georgia, which is a buck-faced lie. Everybody knows they have an office in Georgia, and the judge signed the order. So these are the courts that convicted Troy Davis. They are interested. People are interested also in the fact that I am going to start protesting in front of the federal building. I'm protesting not just for my family, but for all the families, for Troy Davis's family, for all the families that are railroaded in these federal courts. They don't care about us as my friend Micah Jackson said. He said in the song, they don't care about us. Please look online for Micah Jackson's death, the conspiracy theory. Please look online for my article that they're very upset about this week, and that is Jenny Cochran's COINTELPRO murder theory. That's Jenny Cochran's COINTELPRO murder theory. Jenny Cochran, he partnered with some people out of Alabama after he got famous. He wanted to get money for reparations. He wanted to do a dream team of reparations and sue the United States of America and sue big corporations that use leased slaves. When he got Geronimo Pratt out of jail, he helped Mr. Holland get Geronimo Pratt out of jail. Then they came in with a deal. And they said, we'll let you stay on top of the firm, but let us have that name, and we all work together and take this nation coast to coast, the Jenny Cochran firm. Soon as he did that, he came up dead. Now, let's all be reminded that they induce tumors in lab rats every day. Let's be reminded of that, okay?
Okay, well, look, on that note, I got to bring on Libby. Libby, you there?
I'm here. I'd just like to say to Mary that you're a fearless truth teller who I have so much respect, though, for how fearless you are. And I'm just in awe. I'm in awe. What I have today is an article from Truth Out called Democracy on Hold in Benton Harbor. While the country watched the protests in Wisconsin spill into the state capitol building, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder was passing a controversial bill that many consider a direct attack on the constitutional rights of the citizens of Michigan, Public Act 4-9, also called the Emergency Financial Management Bill, gives already existing emergency financial managers, we call them EFMs, sweeping new powers, allowing them to literally suspend the entire elected bodies of municipalities they deem to be failing, and suspend collective bargaining agreements with unions for up to 5 years. Immediately after the bill passed, an ESM took complete control over the city of Benton Harbor as well as Detroit's public schools. ESMs also are in power in Pontiac and Ecorse. Now, here's an amazing thing. As many as 400 people are studying to become ESMs in Michigan. That means 400 towns could be taken over here, and we have no more elected officials in those places. Having studied, these teams are ready to attack the local governments of Michigan to restructure their finances. And a Michigan State University economist, Eric Scorsone, told Bloomberg News last week about these trainees. He said, a SWAT team is an okay way to look at this. Many Michigan residents, especially those experiencing poverty or hanging on to medium income jobs, are outraged. Protests, lawsuits from the ACLU and local municipalities, and calls for Governor Snyder to be recalled. These things are all happening. Marion Kramer of the fantastic National Welfare Rights Union. Now I'm adding my own language into this article. Marion Kramer says it's a dictatorship. They are restructuring the government to protect the interests of corporations, and that's what this is all about. It's not about us. Now, I want to drop down in the article. This, again, is from Truthout. It's called Democracy on Hold in Benton Harbor. To a place that, because, see, Benton Harbor is the first place in Michigan and in the United States to have this expanded version of this law take hold. Benton Harbor is the first place. They picked the poorest place in Michigan, and they eliminated all elected officials. Only the ESM, Joseph Harris, has any power to do anything. So here, dropping down in the article, Benton Harbor residents say that Whirlpool, the world's leading manufacturer of major home appliances, and which once employed many in Benton Harbor in manufacturing jobs, might have a role in the ESM law as well. State Rep. Al Pacholka, who introduced the bill, formerly sat on the board of a Whirlpool-funded nonprofit in Benton Harbor, now behind a controversial development on the town's beach. And his former boss, Representative Fred Upton, is a Whirlpool heir who owns property near the development. Benton Harbor has long dealt with abject poverty, job loss from outsourcing, and low-level corruption. Many residents say that appointing an ESM with no legal accountability whatsoever will only make problems worse. Benton Harbor residents point out that the state government's two-faced approach to their community, well, they point that out. They see Whirlpool as the real criminal, overshadowing anything a city commissioner could do in a lifetime. Whirlpool has its global headquarters in Benton Harbor and has long controlled the city and the whole county, for that matter. In 1986, at the behest of business leaders, Benton Harbor was designated as an enterprise zone to give tax exemptions to the private sector. Well, Whirlpool quickly ate up those exemptions. At the same time, the St. Joseph Benton Harbor area was losing over 5,000 jobs. Whirlpool, get this, continued layoffs into the 90s. Until in 1996, they laid off half the workers at their Evansville, Indiana plant. Today, less than one-third of Whirlpool's workforce is inside the United States. You can go to Truthout. You can read footnotes. You can see photographs. And, again, it's Democracy on Hold in Benton Harbor.
Hey, you know, that's beautiful. You know, you was at the protest on yesterday. How did you enjoy yourself?
I thought it was wonderful. It's the most people that there have been at a protest in Benton
Absolutely.
Harbor.
But I don't really think the people themselves. I think the most important part, we was part of the parade.
I think to me that was the highlight of the whole evening.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that was the highlight of the whole evening, because I even got a chance to walk in the streets with the governor. And I tell you, with all the other side attractions that, you know, that was going on that maybe you really didn't know about, you know, people coming in trying to do this hostile takeover, and it didn't matter, because everything to me was just perfect, because I never had a protest or I never been involved with a protest on that level where we was actually part of it. I tell you, I'm excited right now about it. I can't help but talk about it. And Ralph, you know what I'm saying, because I never had the opportunity to be this involved in a project where you get this close to a governor and you can intimidate him on this level.
People really were intimidating him, I think. I mean, there
was absolutely his legs were his knees were buckling.
Well,
yeah, that's why he ran and got in that truck and got out of there.
Well, I think of you, Reverend, when I think of the ride of Paul Revere, right, shouting the British. I think of the role of Reverend calling out that the corporations are here. You know,
right.
And you were doing this for years. And I'm hoping people are understanding your call. The corporations
are here,
and
The other thing is that Reverend Pinckney has said on many occasions the power structure doesn't like it when black and white people get together to oppose the ruling elite. And this is what it was yesterday. It was a multiracial protest, which you just do not see very often anywhere.
Absolutely. And listen, we got about 3 minutes. Rap, can you take about a minute and say something real fast?
Yes. You're doing great work, and we must begin to pay attention to our truth tellers. And one of the things I would hope on your website, if you would just show pictures of Benton Harbor and that wonderful shore, and to see what these corporations are after. They're taking over a very special place for their own benefit. So that's
absolutely.
Reverend, I remember Lynn, I write a letter, or look up on her website, lynnstewart.org.
And I'm going to write her. That's a
Thank
promise.
You.
Next Sunday when we talk, she's going to say she received a letter from me.
Wonderful.
All right, Mary, you got about a half a minute. Go ahead.
I want to say that I have written articles about Lynn Stewart. Google Mary Neal, N-E-A-L, and Lynn Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. I've written articles about her that are read by very high people. I'm followed by the U.S. Supreme Court on Twitter, where I am CoffeeTime, K-O-F-F-I-E-T-I-M-E. Please look on CoffeeTime at Twitter, and you will see links to my articles.
Very
thank
good.
You and Reverend,
God
congratulations
bless you.
On your protest. Congratulations.
All right. Jordy, you got something to say?
No, I just like to, say that I enjoyed the show, and I would like to encourage Mary to keep up the good work, and I would like to encourage Raph to continue to fight for his best half, Lynn Stewart, and I pray that some miraculous intervention, you know, release her from prison. And I like to encourage you, Reverend Pinckney, just keep up the good work. It seemed like a long haul, but, you know, it's paying off. It's paying off. So I encourage all of you. Libby, keep up the good work. Love you all.
Love you
all. Libby, you got about 20 seconds.
I think the amazing, one of the very incredible, amazing things about yesterday was that the media has kept the pillage and the siege of Benton Harbor a secret. And
yes.
Now there are a lot of Michigan people who are learning about Benton Harbor.
Absolutely. And I just want to say that on June 18th, we are coming back again. And we are going to have it's the anniversary of the uprising in the city of Benton Harbor. I will have T-shirt, which is Terrence Shearn. I will have his family. They are going to be the marshal
of this parade. And we're going to make sure that we do this thing right, and we're going to march across the bridge to the courthouse, and then we're going to march back. That's how we're going to deal with this thing. And I tell you this, I'm so excited about everything that I don't know what to do. I'm happy that things turned out the way they did. And yesterday was a really amazing, amazing feat. And this is for a message for those who are listening in, who tried to take it over. Believe me, you have met your match with me. I am not going to allow you to take over anything that I'm part of, whether you like it or not. So I know that you're listening. So this is my message to you. Bring it on.
Right on.
Bring it on, because I'm not taking any prisoners, because I don't want to feed you. And that's it. On that note, we have just ran out of time.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Much
thank
love.
You.
Thank
you, Mary.
And Mary, Libby, Dorothy, y'all did a wonderful job today. And I tell you, our listeners is almost off the chart. I mean, this thing is getting so big, I don't know whether we can control it. But we're doing
God
good.
Control, Reverend. God
had
it.
Absolutely.
God had it.
That's right. And I tell you that. Listen, I got to let y'all go. And Rap, I promise you I'm going to write a letter to Lynn.
And you will have an answer. Thank you so
that's
much.
That's right. And I will deal with you next week. And we, you know, maybe you and I will talk before next week so we can kind of like get things together a little bit.
Great.
All right then, Rap. Take care now. Take
go
care, everybody.
Oh, much love.
Thank you. Thank
bye,
you, everybody. Bye now.